Okay, so remember those, like, I don't know, those big battles you had with imaginary dragons out in the backyard? Or maybe you were more the crafting elaborate stories with your stuffed animals kind of kid. I know I was. Turns out those weren't just like childhood games though. Right? They were crucial steps in our development. And that's what we're diving into today. A listener shared an excerpt with us. It's called Understanding the Role of Child Psychologists in Venice FL. And we're gonna explore how those early experiences, even the ones that seem, really small and insignificant, how those shape who we become.
Yeah, it is fascinating, isn't it? Like to think about how those, simple childhood activities, like, playing pretend, actually, well, they lay the groundwork for really complex, social and emotional skills, as adults, and whether you're, a parent or you work with children or even if you're just fascinated by, by human development, this deep dive should offer some insights into how those early experiences, they kind of ripple
Well,
throughout our lives.
let's start unpacking this by looking at, I guess, the foundation of it all, family dynamics. The source really emphasizes, how crucial those relationships are for a child's emotional and mental well-being, for sure.
Absolutely, yeah. A child's early interactions within their family, I mean, that really sets the stage for their understanding of, all kinds of relationships, but also their sense of self-worth and their ability to just navigate the world in general, right? It's those early attachments and interactions that really shape their emotional and social development.
The source mentions two specific techniques that child psychologists in Venice use to address family issues: play therapy and family counseling. Can you give us a quick overview of, like, why these techniques are so effective?
Okay, so play therapy, for example, that taps into a child's, well, their natural language play, right? It allows them to sort of to communicate and process these really complex emotions in ways that aren't verbal. Think about it. Sometimes, I mean, even for adults, it's hard to, put those difficult feelings into words, right? But for children who are still developing, those verbal skills, play offers a really powerful outlet.
So instead of, like, expecting a child to, sit down and perfectly articulate their anxieties or frustrations, we give them, a space to express those feelings through, toys and games.
Yeah, precisely. And as they play, right? Trained therapists can they can observe their interactions and identify patterns and gently guide them towards healthier ways of coping and expressing themselves. There's actually a fascinating theoretical foundation behind this. It's called attachment theory. And that posits that the secure early attachments with caregivers that directly influences a child's ability to form healthy relationships throughout their whole life.
Wow, that adds a whole new layer to understanding the power of those, those early bonds. And what about family counseling? How does that fit into the picture?
Right, so family counseling, that takes a broader perspective, right? Instead of just focusing solely on the child, it addresses the interactions and the dynamics within the entire family system. It's based on the understanding that a child's behavior, it isn't happening in a vacuum, right? It's often a reflection of the dynamics and the stressors and the communication patterns within the whole family.
That makes a lot of sense. So instead of, like, just trying to, I don't know, fix, quote unquote, fix the child's behavior, you're, looking at the underlying patterns and helping the entire family develop little healthier ways of interacting and communicating, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So, let's say, there's a child who is consistently, acting out at school. Family counseling, might reveal that there's some unspoken tension at home, right? Maybe due to financial stress or marital discord, and the child, picking up on these unspoken anxieties might be, expressing their own stress through their behavior. So, by addressing those underlying issues and improving communication within the whole family unit, you create a more supportive environment for everybody, including the child, of course.
So it's kind of like unraveling a tangled knot, right? Looking at how each strand is connected and gently working to create a smoother flow. Speaking of untangling complex processes, let's dive into the world of cognitive development. The source mentions that child psychologists in Venice, they play a key role in identifying potential issues in this area.
You're right. That is a really complex process. Cognitive development, it refers to that fascinating journey of of how a child's, you know, thinking, learning, and problem-solving skills, how all that evolves, it encompasses everything from, you know, language acquisition to memory formation to abstract reasoning, and just like physical development. It unfolds in stages, each with its own, you know, unique milestones and challenges.
The source mentions that these child psychologists, they utilize assessments and interventions to support healthy cognitive growth. What can you tell us about those assessments without getting too technical, of course? What should we be picturing here?
Well, think about like taking your child's mental processes in for a tune-up. Child psychologists, they use a variety of assessments, right, designed, you know, specifically for different age groups and developmental stages. These tools help them assess, you know, language development, memory capacity, problem-solving skills, and even even social-emotional intelligence, the ability to understand and manage emotions, both our own and others. It's not about, you know, labeling or putting children in boxes, but rather gaining a clear picture of their, you know, their developmental progress and identifying any areas where they might need a little extra support.
It's like a roadmap, right? Helping you understand where the child is on their developmental journey.
Yeah.
And guiding them toward reaching their full potential. And I'm especially intrigued by the source's emphasis on early intervention. It seems like catching potential issues early on can make a world of difference in a child's trajectory, for sure.
That's absolutely correct. Think about it this way. Even, you know, a tiny crack in a building's foundation mm-hmm. might, you know, go unnoticed at first. But if you leave it unattended, it can lead to major structural problems down the line, mm-hmm. requiring, you know, really extensive and costly repairs. The same applies to cognitive development, addressing potential issues early on. You know, when a child's brain is incredibly adaptable and receptive to intervention, that can significantly impact their future success and well-being.
That's a powerful analogy. It makes you realize how much potential is shaped in those, you know, those early years. And speaking of shaping potential, how has your own cognitive development impacted who you are today?
That's a thought-provoking question. It certainly makes you reflect on the, you know, the various influences that have shaped our cognitive abilities. It also highlights how much we still have to learn about the you know, the complexities of child development and the intricate ways in which those early experiences mold our minds.
I feel like we could spend hours just unpacking that question alone. But before we get too sidetracked, let's touch on some other areas where child psychologists in Venice play a crucial role. The source mentioned social skills, emotional regulation, behavior management, and support for children with specific challenges, like learning disabilities and ADHD.
Each of those areas is incredibly important, and they're all interconnected, you know, but perhaps we could focus on emotional regulation for a moment as it ties in, you know, nicely with our discussion of family dynamics and cognitive development.
Okay, emotional regulation it is. I'm already intrigued. Tell us more.
Right, so imagine this. A child spills their juice all over their brand new shirt right before, you know, a big family event. Their initial reaction might be, you know, a flood of emotions, frustration, anger, disappointment, maybe even shame. Mm-hmm. Emotional regulation is it's the ability to, you know, to recognize, understand, and manage those big feelings in a healthy way, so that, you know, they don't completely take over. It's like having an inner thermostat, right, that
yeah.
helps us maintain a comfortable emotional temperature, even when things get heated.
I can already see how this skill is crucial throughout life, not just for children, but how exactly does it tie back to those early experiences we were discussing?
Well, it all starts in those early relationships. You know, think back to that child with the spilled juice. If their caregivers respond with empathy and understanding, right? Oh no, I see how upset you are. It's okay to feel, you know, frustrated. Let's clean this up together. They're modeling healthy emotional regulation, right? They're showing the child that it's okay to have, you know, big feelings, but they can be they can be managed constructively.
So those early interactions, they provide a blueprint for how children learn to navigate their own emotional landscapes. It's fascinating to see how all these pieces fit together.
It is, and it highlights the profound impact of those, you know, early interactions. But what's even more fascinating is that it's a continuous process, right? Even if those early experiences weren't ideal, we can still learn and develop these skills later on in life, you know,
yeah.
through therapy, mindfulness practices, or even just conscious effort. It's never too late to, you know, to work on our emotional toolkit.
It makes you wonder about the long-term impact of, you know, those early experiences, both positive and challenging, right? And perhaps it even inspires us to be more mindful of the ways we interact with, you know, with the children in our lives, knowing that those interactions can have a ripple effect far beyond, you know, the present moment.
Yeah, it is remarkable, right? How even seemingly small interactions can shape a child's emotional development. It really, you know, makes you realize the responsibility we all have in creating, you know, supportive environments for the children in our lives.
Absolutely. It's a powerful reminder that we're all part of this, you know, intricate web of influence. Speaking of influence, I'm curious to explore the role of social skills in a child's development. Our source, Understand the Role of Child Psychologists in Venice, FL, mentions this as a key area of focus.
Right. And social skills are, you know, often thought of as just making friends and playing nicely. But it goes much deeper than that. They're the foundation for building, you know, healthy relationships, for communicating effectively, collaborating with others, resolving conflicts and just navigating, you know, social situations with confidence. And these skills are essential for success in, you know, in school, in the workplace and really in life in general.
Yeah, it's interesting to consider how, you know, those early interactions like on the playground or in the classroom, how those actually lay the groundwork for our ability to, you know, to connect and thrive in the adult world. What are some specific, you know, examples of how those early social experiences shape us?
Well, research has shown that, you know, children who develop strong social skills early on, they tend to be more, you know, more empathetic. They're
yeah.
better able to understand and respond to the emotions of others, which fosters, you know, stronger connections and more fulfilling relationships. They're also more resilient, you know, in the face of challenges. When children have a strong network of, you know, of social support, they're better equipped to cope with stress, with you know, setbacks and difficult emotions.
It makes sense that, you know, having those positive social connections would provide a, you know, a buffer against those inevitable life challenges. And on the flip side, if a child struggles with, you know, with social skills, that could lead to feelings of, you know, isolation, anxiety, and even difficulty in academic settings.
Precisely. And that's where the expertise of child psychologists can be invaluable. They can help children who are, you know, who are struggling socially by teaching them specific skills like reading social cues, understanding, you know, nonverbal communication, initiating conversations and resolving conflicts, you know, peacefully.
So it's almost like giving them a social skills toolbox.
Yeah.
Equipped with strategies and techniques to navigate those complex, you know, social interactions.
That's a great analogy. And it's, you know, it's not a one size fits all approach either. Child psychologists, they tailor those tools to each child's unique needs and developmental stage. For some children, it might be, you know, about helping them, you know, recognize and manage their anxiety in social situations. For others, it might be about teaching them how to, you know, how to assert themselves respectfully or to understand, you know, different crescendos in a conflict.
And I imagine this is particularly important for, you know, for children with specific challenges like learning disabilities or ADHD, as the source mentioned. They might face, you know, additional hurdles when it comes to navigating social situations.
Absolutely, yeah. For a child with ADHD, for example, impulsivity, you know, that might lead to interrupting others or mm-hmm. Or blurting out things without thinking, and that can really impact their social interactions. A child psychologist can work with them to develop strategies for managing those impulses and for interacting with peers in a way that fosters positive connections.
It sounds like it's all about, you know, empowering children
yeah.
with the skills they need to build those meaningful connections
yeah.
and to thrive in a world that's that's increasingly complex and demanding, you know, when it comes to social interactions.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it brings us back to the importance of recognizing, you know, the interconnectedness of all these aspects of child development: social skills, emotional regulation, cognitive development, family dynamics. They all influence and shape one another.
Okay, so let's bring our focus, you know, back to Venice, Florida. Our source is specifically about, you know, the role of child psychologists in that community. What stood out to you about the way they approach you know, supporting children and families in Venice?
Well, what's fascinating is the emphasis on understanding, you know, the unique context of each family. The excerpt highlights how child psychologists in Venice, you know, they recognize that there's no one size fits all approach to supporting families. They take into account the family's, you know, cultural background, socioeconomic status, and even the specific challenges and opportunities presented by, you know, by living in a coastal community like Venice.
So instead of like just applying a, you know, a generic set of interventions, they're really tailoring their approach to meet the, you know, the specific needs of each family.
Exactly. Yeah. They're taking a, you know, a holistic approach, recognizing that a child's behavior and emotional well-being, that those are deeply intertwined with their family's, you know, unique circumstances and experiences.
It makes me wonder if there are any, you know, specific challenges or opportunities that are unique to families living in Venice, being a coastal community. Perhaps there are factors like proximity to the water or a strong tourism industry that play a role in the family dynamics.
That's a great point. It's possible that the unique environment of Venice shapes family life in ways that might not be, you know, as prevalent in other communities. For example, the tourism industry that could create, you know, seasonal fluctuations in employment, leading to financial stress for some families, or perhaps the close-knit community that creates a strong support system, but also heightened expectations around, you know, social conformity. These are just speculations, of course, but they highlight the importance of, you know, of considering the broader context when working with families.
It speaks to the need for mental health professionals who are embedded in the community, who understand the local culture and the unique challenges that families face. That local knowledge can be so invaluable in providing, you know, truly relevant and effective support.
Absolutely. It's about, you know, building trust and understanding and a sense of shared experience. And that's essential when addressing sensitive and often, you know, complex family dynamics. Remember, remember earlier when we were discussing play therapy and family counseling, these techniques are particularly relevant in a community like Venice.
I'm all ears. Tell me more about how these approaches are uniquely suited for Venice.
Okay, well, consider play therapy. It's a powerful tool for helping children, you know, express themselves non-verbally, which can be particularly helpful, you know, in families where there might be, you know, cultural barriers to expressing emotions, you know, directly. Venice as a tourist destination is likely to have a diverse population with varying cultural norms around communication and emotional expression. Play therapy, it provides a universal language that transcends those barriers, allowing children to communicate their needs and experiences regardless of their cultural background.
So play becomes a bridge, right? A way to connect with children on a deeper level, even when, you know, there might be differences in language or cultural norms. And what about family counseling? How does that approach fit into, you know, the unique context of Venice?
Right. So family counseling, that can be, you know, instrumental in addressing systemic issues within the family unit. It helps improve communication patterns, resolve conflicts and strengthen relationships in a community like Venice, where families, you know, might face unique stressors or challenges, you know, related to their environment. family counseling can provide a valuable support system. For instance, imagine a family, you know, struggling to cope with the financial strain of seasonal employment in the tourism industry. Family counseling, you know, could provide them with tools and strategies to navigate those challenges together, strengthening their, you know, their resilience and then preventing those stressors from, you know, from impacting the children's well-being.
It's like providing a, you know, safe space for families to process those challenges, to learn, you know, new ways of communicating and problem solving and to build a stronger foundation for navigating, you know, whatever life throws their way.
Exactly. And it brings us, you know, back to that core principle we've been emphasizing throughout this whole deep dive. The interconnectedness of everything.
Yeah.
A child's, you know, well-being is intricately linked to their family dynamics, their social skills, their emotional regulation, and even the, you know, the broader context of their community. Mm-hmm. By understanding these, you know, these interconnected layers, we can create a more supportive and nurturing environment for children to thrive.
It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in creating that supportive web, whether we're, you know, parents or educators or community leaders or simply, you know, concerned citizens. We can all contribute to a world where children, you know, feel seen and heard and empowered to reach their full potential.
I love how you've, you know, brought it back to this sense of shared responsibility. It's a beautiful reminder that even small acts of kindness and understanding and advocacy, that those can make a difference in the lives of children.
Before we wrap up this segment, I'd love to pose a question to our listener. What aspect of this conversation about child psychology in Venice has, you know, has resonated most with you? Perhaps it sparked a new insight or made you think, you know, differently about your own experiences. Take a moment to reflect on that as we move into the final part of our deep dive. Welcome back. We've been exploring the multifaceted world of child psychology using your source, understanding the role of child psychologists in Venice, FL, as our guide. And before we wrap up, let's turn our attention to the support that's available for, you know, children facing specific challenges. Our source mentioned learning disabilities and ADHD.
Right, and those are, you know, those are areas where early identification and intervention can truly, you know, change a child's trajectory. Imagine, you know, a child struggling to keep up in school. They might, you know, feel frustrated, confused, and even begin to doubt their abilities. And if a learning disability, you know, like dyslexia or dyscalculia, if that goes, you know, undiagnosed, it can, you know, it can impact their self-esteem, their motivation to learn, and even, you know, even their relationships with peers.
It's heartbreaking to think about, you know, a child going through that without the proper support. Early intervention, you know, it isn't just about academics, right? It's about a child's overall, you know, well-being.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's where child psychologists come in. They use a range of assessments to pinpoint you know, specific learning disabilities. And once they're identified, they collaborate, you know, with the child, with their family, and with the school to create a tailored plan that addresses the, you know, the child's unique needs. And this might involve, you know, specific teaching strategies or accommodations in the classroom, or even you know, even assistive technologies.
Yeah, it's amazing how these, you know, individualized approaches can empower children to learn and to thrive. It emphasizes the, you know, the importance of recognizing that not every child learns in the same way, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's about celebrating, you know, neurodiversity and understanding that what might be, you know, a challenge for one child could be a strength, you know, for another. With the right support, children with learning disabilities can, you know, they can discover their unique talents and achieve, you know, remarkable things.
This reminds me of a friend of mine whose son has dyslexia. He struggled in school, you know, initially. Mm-hmm. But with the help of a specialized tutor and supportive teachers, he discovered a passion for storytelling, and now he's a published author. It's a testament to the power of recognizing, you know, individual needs and providing the right support.
That's a wonderful example, and the same, you know, the same principle applies to children with ADHD. You know, this often presents, you know, unique challenges with focus, with impulsivity, and sometimes, you know, sometimes hyperactivity. But again, with appropriate, you know, strategies and support, these children can learn to, you know, to manage their symptoms, develop self-regulation skills, and excel in, you know, in various areas of life.
Some might assume that, you know, medication is the primary solution for ADHD, but it sounds like a much broader approach is needed, right?
Absolutely. While medication can be helpful for some children, it's rarely a standalone solution. A comprehensive approach, you know, might involve behavioral therapy, parent training, classroom accommodations, and even mindfulness techniques. That the key is to find what works best for each individual child, and to create a supportive environment that allows them to thrive.
So it's about, you know, recognizing the child's strengths, understanding, you know, their challenges, and equipping them, you know, with the tools they need to navigate the world in a way that works for them. And it seems like this approach is, you know, particularly relevant in a community like Venice, with its, you know, unique blend of cultural backgrounds and family dynamics.
You're right. Yeah. Child psychologists in Venice, you know, they need to be culturally sensitive, adaptable, yeah, and attuned to the diverse needs of, you know, of the families they serve. And this might involve incorporating techniques like play therapy, right, which can be incredibly effective, you know, for children who might not feel, you know, comfortable expressing their emotions verbally, or using family counseling to address, you know, systemic issues within the family unit.
So it sounds like, you know, the goal is to create a sense of safety and understanding and trust, regardless of, you know, a family's background or the specific challenges that they face.
That's a beautiful way to put it. It's about, you know, building a bridge between the child, the family, and the community, right? Creating a network of support that empowers children to reach their full potential.
We've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive, mm-hmm, from the, you know, the foundational role of family dynamics to the intricacies of, you know, cognitive development and the unique challenges that some children, you know, might face. What's been the most, you know, impactful takeaway for you?
For me, it's the reminder that child psychology, you know, it isn't just about children. It's about understanding, you know, the human experience, the foundations of our, you know, our relationships, and the intricate ways in which our early experiences, you know, shape who we become. It's a field that offers, you know, valuable insights for everyone, whether we're, you know, parents, educators, therapists, or simply individuals curious about, you know, the complexities of human development.
I couldn't agree more. And for our listener, you know, as we wrap up this deep dive into the world of child psychology in Venice, Florida, I leave you with this thought.
Yeah.
What's, you know, one small step you can take, you know, today to create a more nurturing and understanding environment for the children in your, you know, in your life? Perhaps it's simply, you know, listening with empathy, offering encouragement, or advocating for, you know, for policies that support children's mental health. Every effort, no matter how small, contributes to a brighter future for our children.
And remember, the journey of, you know, learning and growth that doesn't end with childhood. We all, you know, we all have the capacity to evolve, yeah, to connect with our inner child, and to become, you know, more compassionate and understanding individuals. Keep exploring, keep asking questions, and keep advocating for a world where every child has the opportunity to thrive. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.